This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. Christmas is already in the air. What a wonderful time of year, as even the unbelieving world, knowingly or not, celebrates the birth of our Savior. We observe the tradition of giving gifts on Christmas because of the wise men who brought gifts to Jesus in the Bible. They were led by a star in the sky to find him.
And as that star pointed to Jesus 2,000 years ago, Dr. D. James Kennedy believed that the stars above us point to him now, but telling the story of the gospel. On today's program, you'll discover how. And a bit later, for the first time ever, you'll have the opportunity to obtain the entire series of Dr. Kennedy's messages on the Zodiac, perhaps the most requested resource in our ministry's history. And you'll also meet a Jewish man who was led to Jesus Christ through the teaching of the Old Testament.
And I'm John Sorensen. Later in the program, I'll be back to discuss the awe and wonder of God's eternal plan for you.
And as we begin today's program, we'll hear from my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, as he presents a classic, sometimes controversial message. When he first preached this series on the Zodiac, some misunderstood him. My dad strongly rejected pagan astrology, but he believed with the psalmist that the heavens declare the glory of God. Today's is the first of 13 messages he preached on this fascinating topic called The Gospel in the Stars.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 19th Psalm. We shall begin with the first verse, and may we now give our careful attention to the inspired, the infallible word of the living God.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And may God speak to our hearts and minds today through his holy word, and may his name evermore be praised. Amen. Did you ever take an IQ test? If so, you probably came across some questions that are expressed in this way. A group of four things are set before you. Three of them have something in common, and one of them seems out of place. Your task? To find that one that does not belong. We're going to give you a little IQ test right now. The first chapter of the Bible tells us that God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And we're also told in that same first chapter this, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Did you hear the four? Did one of them seem strangely out of place? Some of you are saying, "What for?" I'll go over it again. "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Now, does one of those seem out of place? It should be obvious to everyone with a modicum of knowledge about astronomy that the heavenly bodies have a great deal to say about our years, about our days, and about our seasons. But how are they signs? What is a sign? A sign is something which proclaims a message. You put up a signboard, you do it to proclaim a message. What is the message that is proclaimed by the stars above? Well, that is the subject of our investigation this morning. I'm going to be talking to you about what might be called biblical astrology. Now, that is certainly a rare connection of words. Biblical astrology, or perhaps the real meaning of the zodiac. Or perhaps we would call it, as I did, the gospel in the stars. Satan is always the great liar, the great counterfeiter, the great deceiver. Whenever God has given people anything to proclaim the gospel, Satan has deceived them into trusting in the sign rather than the thing signified. For example, God created the church to proclaim the gospel. Millions of people trust in the church for their salvation. They want to find the right church which will save them. No church will save you. The church points to Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of men. Christ gave to us a great tangible symbol of his death upon the cross in the Lord's Supper, his broken body and shed blood, pointing to the once and for all atonement of the cross in which we should trust. But millions instead trust in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as their hope of salvation rather than the thing which it signifies. They trust in the sign rather than that which is signified. And so also God proclaimed the gospel in the stars. And instead of trusting in the Christ to which they point so gloriously, they've trusted in the stars themselves. And that is what the modern corruption of astrology is, the idea that some mysterious and magical and supernatural powers emanate from the houses of the zodiac that affect and control our destiny and our lives. That is the lie of Satan, which will destroy every soul that believes it. Rather, what we have is a glorious sky painting of Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory. Let us then look briefly at a few of the pictures of the zodiac. And for those of you that may never have looked at this matter at all, and fortunately, because of its corruptions and its satanic aspects, it's well that you have nothing to do with modern astrology whatsoever. But in order that you might appreciate what God has done, let me just tell you something about it, what it's like. If you paint the whole picture of the sky on the ceiling above, you would have a great circle, which is called the ecliptic of the sun. Now, on the ecliptic, there are 12 major constellations known as the constellations of the zodiac or the signs of the zodiac. Zodiac is thought to mean the circle of animals, though better linguists say that it comes from an ancient Hebrew word which means actually a path or step, that it actually is displaying the way. That is the way of salvation. Let's begin then with Virgo. Virgo is a picture of a woman. And this woman is clearly identified as a virgin, even the name of the constellation, Virgo, the virgin, from Latin. Or if you go into Hebrew, it is Bethula, which means a virgin. So the first thing we see is the emphasis upon the virginity of this woman. The second thing that we note is an emphasis upon her fertility or her woman motherhood, because she holds in her right hand a branch and in her left hand some sheaves of corn or wheat seeds or barley seeds. Various interpretations given of that. And we see that, of course, it is the seed of the woman, that is, the virgin, who will conceive and bring forth a child, as Isaiah tells us, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son," that her seed will produce this. And furthermore, a branch. We read in Zechariah, "For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." And in Zechariah 6:12, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch." And then in Isaiah 4:2, "The branch of Jehovah shall blossom prosperously." That he is the servant, he is a man, he is God. He is the man, God's servant, Jesus, who has come. The second, and I don't have time to deal with a couple of these, is, of course, the constellation or sign Libra, which means the scales. In Hebrew, it is mesanayim, which means the scales weighing. And we're told, of course, in the Bible, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." And one of the scales is down and the other is up. And it's interesting that one of the stars in one of the scales is, in Arabic, Zubin al-Ganubi, which means the price which is deficient, showing the failure of man to be weighed properly in the scales of God, to be found lighter than vanity, and therefore condemned. But the good news is the star, and the other one is Zubin al-Kimali, which means the price which covers, the superabundant one, referring, of course, to Christ. "Thou art worthy, thou hast redeemed to God by thy blood." And Christ placed in the scales brings us up to God. And if this is not perfectly clear, then I would take you to the first of the minor constellations in the house of Libra, which is the constellation Crux, which is the southern cross. In Hebrew, it is called Edom, which means a cutting off. And Christ is that one who was cut off out of the land of the living for our sins. If we had the time, we could go around all of the signs of the zodiac, and especially to examine all of the minor points of the three other constellations, which tell the fabulous and fascinating story over and over again, till finally we come to Leo the Lion, a picture of Christ, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, finally coming again, not this time in humiliation, but coming in great power and glory, and his claws are right over Hydra, the serpent again, whom he is about to finally and totally destroy. How glorious it is that whether we talk about the special revelation that God has given to us in the Word or the general revelation which God has given to us in nature, the story is always the same, that the seed of the woman will destroy the seed of the serpent. I hope that as you go out on a given night and look up at the glories of the starry skies, that you will be more impressed than ever with the greatness and wonder of our God and the majesty of his grace and mercy. May we pray. How great thou art, O God, who hath painted the starry skies with the message of redemption, and hath revealed unto men everywhere the story of the coming and suffering and struggle and death and resurrection of thy Son. We thank thee that we have it in all of its fullness in thy word today, and pray that we, having the full revelation, may join with thee in making a world that is blind and deaf see and hear the wonders of your grace. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
What an amazing message, the gospel in the stars. Have you experienced the gospel in your life, the wonders of God's grace? If you have, I urge you to share it with someone this week, perhaps even using some of what you've heard in today's unique message. If you're one who listened to this message in amazement, wondering if God's grace, His unmerited love and favor, extends to even you, I have great news. It does. You see, heaven is a free gift. It's not something that you can earn or deserve. Because the Bible tells us that everyone, you and me, we've sinned and we've fallen short of God's perfect standard. But Christ paid for our sins, yours and mine, with His death on the cross. Only He could do that, because only He lived an absolutely sinless life. Would you like to know that your sins are forgiven and that you can have an abundant life? If so, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, divine Son of God, have mercy on me. I repent of my sins and ask for your forgiveness. I transfer my trust from all my efforts to get into heaven to what you did for me on the cross. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We have a gift that we want to send to you. It's a book written by Dr. Kennedy called Beginning Again. And that's exactly what you're doing. In these pages, you'll find the book of John from the New Testament, and you'll learn how to read and study God's Word. It's yours when you write to the address on your screen or call our toll-free number. Just ask for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
For the first time ever, D. James Kennedy's most requested resource is available on one DVD set. The Gospel in the Stars, on 13 DVDs or audio CDs, available for a limited time as a thank you for your donation of $75 or more.
God, from the very beginning, outlined in the panorama of the stars the whole message of the Gospel of Christ.
The Gospel in the Stars is D. James Kennedy at his best. Don't miss this rare opportunity to own these very special messages today.
How great thou art, O God, who hath painted the starry skies with a message of redemption.
The good news, announced even in the heavens above, is that the seed of the woman will destroy the seed of the serpent and save his people. This was announced in Genesis 3:15. And fulfilled in Christ when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, defeating Satan and offering us salvation.
Yet though it is announced at the very beginning of the Hebrew Scriptures, there are many who revere those Scriptures who nevertheless reject the gospel. But as you're about to see, when you discover the Jesus of the Bible, everything changes, as a young Jewish boy named Stan Meyer found out.
Many times, I am asked, as a Jew for Jesus, are you Jewish or are you Christian? And I say, yes.
But before becoming a Jews for Jesus missionary, Stan Meyer kept his faith in Jesus a secret for years. Brought up in a Jewish household, his family attended a Reformed Jewish synagogue in San Antonio. In fact, his mother had been raised in a conservative Jewish home which kept kosher. But she did not know God, and in her search for spirituality, became involved in the occult.
She started to experiment with things called automatic writing, contacting the other side, the psychic phenomena. Got in touch with discussion groups about that. And, if you will, tried to contact what was on the, quote, other side. And what she found frightened her.
You want some water?
Well, she remembered that at the neighbor's house, she had seen a slip of paper. And funny, it just simply said, for deliverance, call this number. And she called it.
It turned out to be the number of a local Baptist church. And soon after, Stan's mother met with the minister who presented her the gospel.
And in a moment that just, I can only explain, was miraculous, God opened her heart. And this Jewish woman understood that Jesus was our long-awaited promised Messiah. My mother started to explain to me things that I had never really heard before, that Jesus was Jewish. He had a Jewish name, Yeshua, that Mary was not Catholic. She had a Jewish name, Miriam, and that he had come as our long-awaited Messiah. Now, the Bible was not something we were used to reading, but she opened up the scriptures to us and started explaining that Jesus is foretold in the Jewish scriptures. And there were places in there where it described that he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, that he would suffer and die for our sins, Isaiah chapter 53. Now, I was 9 years old, but it made a lot of sense what she was explaining to me. And at age 9, back in 1973, she led me on my knees by my bed, in my bedroom one evening, to pray and receive Jesus as my Messiah and Savior. Well, I remember this grin just stretching from ear to ear. I knew I had done something right and that I now had a relationship with the God of Israel. I went to my father to tell him. He wasn't so thrilled. He got upset. He told me, we're Jews. Jews don't believe in Jesus, and that's the end of the matter. And I thought, you know, why do I need to tell people that I believe in Jesus? I mean, I'm Jewish. That's all anyone needs to know. I'm just going to keep it to myself. And so I decided at some point that I wasn't going to tell anybody that I believed in Jesus. I was going to go on through school and into college as a secret believer in Jesus, as a 007 Christian.
But while Meyer had accepted Jesus in 1973, he never blew his cover until after he visited Israel in 1983.
One of the places I got to go was the Wailing Wall, which is the last remnants of the temple. I seemed to hear God saying, why do you stand idly by watching when you know who they're looking for? You know who the Messiah is. Why don't you tell them? You say you love your people. You don't really love your people. You love the acceptance that they've given you because you have chosen the acceptance of man rather than the pleasing of God. Oh, I realized that I had been faithless to the one who had come and died for my sins, that if I really loved my people, I would be willing to risk that rejection that I might face and would tell them about the Messiah that they've been waiting for so long.
At the time, Meyer was involved in a conservative Jewish student group, and when they accidentally discovered he believed in Jesus as Messiah, he was immediately dismissed.
And so I left, and I felt like a big burden had been lifted off my shoulders. Now that I didn't have to have a disguise, that I could, quote, come out of the closet now, there was a new freedom that I didn't feel before. A freedom that I could tell people I believed in Jesus, that he is our Messiah, and not have anything to worry about, because whatever cost I had already paid it. So I became public about my faith. By the end of my senior year in college, I felt a desire to do this full time. I wanted to be a missionary. I felt God was calling me to be a missionary.
A Jews for Jesus missionary since 1985, Stan Meyer and his wife Holly now present Messiah to Jewish men and women along with their adoptive daughter from China, Carrie Fu.
Carrie just fits in perfectly and comes along with me wherever I go, and it opened up opportunities to just easily talk about how, as a family, we believe in Jesus and that he's the promised Jewish Messiah.
By believing in Jesus, I have become fulfilled or completed, as some of us call ourselves, a messianic Jew. And I have not stopped from being Jewish. And that's something we can share with our Jewish friends, to let them know that you don't stop being a Jew when you believe in Israel's Messiah.
To see a Jewish person come to know the true Messiah of Israel thrills my heart. At Christmas time, we're reminded of the fact that Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, Israel, 2,000 years ago, fulfilling what was promised from the beginning. And as you heard my father talk about today, that message is proclaimed in the very skies above us.
Dr. Kennedy's thought-provoking message, of which you just heard a portion today, is one of a series of 13 fascinating messages he preached called The Gospel in the Stars. Over the years, we've gotten countless calls asking how to get these messages. It's possibly our most requested resource. Well, the wait is over. For the very first time ever, exclusively through this ministry, you can get all 13 of these messages on DVD or audio CD in the series The Gospel in the Stars. This set includes the full-length version of the message you saw today, plus 12 others, most of which have never before been seen on television. For a limited time, we are making this 13-DVD series available for a gift of only $75 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. That's an incredible value, and will also include Dr. Kennedy's book, drawn from these messages, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac. That's the 13-DVD or CD series, The Gospel in the Stars, plus the book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, back in print for the first time in years for your generous donation of just $75 or more. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. This is such an in-demand resource, you may want to share it with family or friends. So to make this offer even more amazing, you can, if you like, get the book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, plus the 13 DVDs and the 13 CDs of The Gospel in the Stars. That's 26 discs total for a donation of $100 or more. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. Or if you prefer, you can get just the book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, for a generous donation of any amount.
You've helped this ministry expand our reach tremendously over the past year. And with all the important issues that will be facing us in 2015, please consider giving your most generous tax-deductible gift to help to finish this year in the black, ready to boldly move forward. Thank you for joining us today, and may God bless you.
And may God bless America with a new awakening.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
God has given from the very beginning a story of His salvation from which all ancient mythologies and ancient traditions have come.
Jesus fulfilled a very great deal of messianic prophecy, yes, but quite a lot of it was fulfilled in ways that people at the time weren't expecting.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.